Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
This week, we have seen glimpses of the future of bikes, some of which is frankly scary. After the world's biggest cycling trade show, we take you through the four biggest things on the horizon right now.
Plus, we've got another bumper tech roundup in cycling shorts, the MotoGP rider taking on a pro bike race, Lance Armstrong coming back to pro racing, kind of, and Connor's dream bike,
Gubbins.
This week in the world of cycling, we learned that wearable airbags for cyclists are once again a reality thanks to the Mace Compact Air Ride, whether you think there's a need or not.
Yeah, now judging by our colleague John Canning's reaction here, I'm not sure how convinced he is either.
his face and neck may be protected from damage, but judging by his face, his trousers might have suffered a little bit just there, I think.
Maybe he needs a chamois airbag.
Oh, crikey. Now, that could be really painful, couldn't it?
I'm okay, guys. Don't worry.
I think I'm all good.
Now, we also learned this week that GCN Italia presenter Giorgio Brambilla has just helped to mastermind the Men's Italian National Road Race Championships victory.
Yeah, so he was the sports director for the amateur SWAT club team who took the win in the race with Filippo Conca in what was a huge upset to the World Tour pros. If you want to know more, you can check out yesterday's Racing News show where I got the inside story from Giorgio.
Giant killing. Frankly,
yeah, basically.
He's a busy man, Giorgio. He had spent much of the previous week exploring the countless halls of tech of Eurobike, along with Alex Payton, of course, and the other GCN channels as well, uncovering every nugget there was to find.
Not one of John Canning's, though, was there?
Thankfully, they did not find John Canning's nugget, no. Anyway, having had a few days to digest Eurobike, we were having a bit of a chat, weren't we, about it at the coffee machine this morning, trying to work out what the future holds for cycling off the back of what was being displayed there. And there are some interesting, but then also for me, scary things in the pipeline.
We're going to leave Si's darkest fears till last, I reckon.
Yeah.
First up, the rise of Chinese cycling is going to reshape the cycling industry in a way that should benefit consumers and will leave some big industry heavyweights feeling quite nervous.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mixed picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
So in the first instance, something that we've said before, is just how many more people in China are beginning to ride bikes, like bikes for fun, right? I think it was clear in both Giant and Shimano's sales figures that we've mentioned in previous weeks on the GCN show, just how much both brands are importing and selling there compared to literally just 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, which is undoubtedly a great thing, isn't
it?
What's also good is how many Chinese manufacturers are legitimising their own brands and products. And this was something that Alex actually noticed at Eurobike. Some of the tech from Chinese brands was wild.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, now, a lot of it was conceptual. All of it was untried, as far as we were concerned. But there was enough there to really cause a stir. What's interesting, though, Alex was saying, was just how much of it was for sale only in China.
Yeah, he said that, yeah.
Now, whether that's an issue of, I don't know, patents or copyright or simply distribution, we don't actually know.
The question then, crucially, is will it make top-end tech more affordable? I mean, you'd think so. More competition is good, isn't it? This comment actually is from last week's show from McLovin the Dank jumped out.
Sorry. From who? McLovin the Dank.
McLovin the Dank.
McLovin the Dank, yeah.
Who said, we really need to thank Microshift and L2 for forcing Shimano to make queues. I'm sure it's a much more complicated outlook than just this, but if it sparks a bit of a reset, we're here for it.
Yeah, we are, yeah. Similarly, tech innovations. Okay, now this may well be able to speed up and therefore, fingers crossed, cheapen up bike manufacture. So while cycling has a long and rightly proud heritage of artisan and boutique brands, long may that continue, might I say, it is really exclusive, isn't it? It's the preserve of the well-off.
Automation, meanwhile, is and has been the holy grail for big manufacturers and brands as a way of saving money. And there have been lots of attempts to do it with high-end bikes. Unfortunately, carbon fibre is the material of choice, and that steadfastly remains a really labour-intensive and therefore expensive process.
However, on show at Eurobike from Engel was a new handlebar that they've made in collaboration with Canyon that promises to reduce manufacturing time down from 2 days to 1 minute.
Quite a saving, isn't it, that? Bonkers.
Yes, I mean, it's what they say. So using injection-moulded thermoplastic-reinforced carbon fibre, can you tell I haven't got a clue what that is?
Yes, I can.
OK, well, whatever it is, it allows them to make a bar with integrated cable routing, built-in lights, etc., with the same comfort and strength properties of traditional carbon fibre. Hmm.
At the moment, it is tech destined for Canyon's flat bar bike, the Road Light, but all it's going to take is another step forward, and something like that will come to performance-oriented bikes too, you'd imagine.
Yes. Now, rest assured, folks, that there is no sign that fast and light performance bikes are going anywhere. So while non-electric mountain bikes seemingly are sort of struggling for identity at the moment, road bikes definitely do not have that problem.
Now, there's some cool innovation there, though, for those that are interested. So TQ released a new battery and motor system, which is the lightest yet. BMC even had a prototype bike built with all sorts of silly light bits on it, and they say it weighs just 8.5 kilograms.
With a motor.
With a motor,
yeah.
Which is mad. But road e-bikes were not everywhere. While they are great for some people and some places, there's no sign that road bikes are facing an existential crisis.
Good. Although we get accused of cheating on road bikes most weeks, don't we? By someone in the comment section because we also like gravel bikes.
Well, speaking of, the trend at Eurobike that strikes fear into Si's heart is bigger wheels.
Ooh.
Now, to be clear, currently this is something that only mountain bikers are going to be dealing with, but you can bet it'll be coming to a gravel bike near you soon enough.
I think you can, actually. Now, where do I start, Dan, with this? Well, actually, funny enough, no. I'm going to start with the tyres. So the tyre manufacturer, Maxxis, they're the ones legitimising this, basically. So they have got a 32-inch diameter mountain bike tyre. Now, multiple, in fact.
Sounds so big, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Currently, no major brands are making this size bike, but if Maxxis spent the money on tooling and moulds, you'd imagine that more than one is coming.
Yeah. Now, why, you might be asking? For the same reason that mountain bikes initially went from 26-inch wheels to 29, so they roll faster over bumps. And once everyone got over the fact that they felt slower, everyone realised that they were faster, and now pretty much no one looks back. I mean, there's probably one or two, aren't there?
But it feels like the same logic applies here, really, doesn't
it?
On gravel bikes, lots of people are pushing for ever wider tyres, so this, in theory, goes one better. So if we get smoother, faster bikes, why is Si so fearful?
Frankly, I'm just not sure I can be bothered with it, right? So hear me out. Mountain biking spent 10 years debating fiercely wheel sizes. To be honest with you, there are still people going on about it 20 years after the first 29ers.
Almost sounds worse than disc brakes on road bikes.
I mean, it is worse than disc brakes on road bikes. Tubeless?
Oh, don't go there.
Okay.
Not tubeless.
All right. We'll ask Ollie whether it's worse than tubeless. But anyway, second to not being up for a decade-long argument, I also really, really like the way bikes feel, like right now. I have no desire to change it, even if it makes them roll over bumps more easily. I just don't want to change it. To a certain extent, if I wanted to just roll fast, I'd stick to riding my road bike on tarmac, because that's about as fast as it gets.
I think that's how a lot of people already feel, if I'm honest.
Well, yeah, OK.
The arguments in favour of 32-inch wheels, though, are not only about speed and efficiency, but also to provide more fit option for larger riders.
That is cool, and I am here for that, just as long as we also cater similarly for smaller riders too.
Yeah, you can still get 26 inches on the second-hand market. Anyway, when you think about it, there is no reason why wheel sizes should be fixed around, was it 622mm diameter rims? No one decided that was the best size for performance. It's only there because of historical legacy and convenience.
Are you saying you support this, Dan?
I'm saying I'm enjoying starting a decade-long debate a bit early.
Thanks.
If it is decade-long. In fact, let's get the viewers involved too, shall we? What do you think about wheel sizes changing over the next few years? Are you as fearful as Si is?
I bet there's a lot of people that are as fearful as me.
Connor's looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, he's one of a handful of people that would benefit. I don't know.
They roll better over bumpy terrain.
But we don't need that.
Should we skip 32, go to 35?
Well, this is it. Like, I mean, at least we know that 36 is like does look a bit bonkers because Connor's got a 36er and it does look a bit bonkers. Anyway, also love to know your thoughts about cycling brands changing in the future.
Oh yeah, based on what we were saying earlier.
Yeah, is the clock ticking for some of the big legacy brands? Get involved in the comments.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that MotoGP rider Aleix Espargaró is swapping two wheels for two and competing in a pro cycling race with Lidl Trek.
It's actually really cool.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Espargaró is obviously into his cycling and will line up at the upcoming Tour of Austria, where he'll compete against the likes of Isaac Del Toro, no less. So he did a couple of gravel races earlier this year with very respectable results. But this is going to be a really big test for him, isn't it? First pro road race.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how he gets on, isn't it? Mm. I would not want to try and follow him down any mountain descent. That's all I've got to say.
Now, do you wonder how amazing his descending is? I mean, obviously it's going to be very, very good, but I wonder if it's like next level, never before seen descending.
I mean, I guess we'll find out, right? In the Tour of Austria.
If there's any coverage. Yeah.
How much do you want to see him go up against Tom Pidcock in a descending showdown?
Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
In other news, Adidas and Nike, was it Adidas and Nike? You know what I mean. They've re-entered the men's professional peloton. So last week, Visma Lisa Bike announced that Nike will now supply their off-the-bike casual wear. And yesterday, Ineos Grenadiers revealed quite a similar partnership with Adidas. Well, that also includes sneakers.
Trainers.
Sneakers.
Yeah. I wonder whether Nike was so inspired to sponsor Visma because of Jonas Vingegaard's like fashion guru status.
Yeah, probably.
I suspect they were. Now, neither brand is currently supplying team kit to either team, and it doesn't sound like they'll have logos on the race jerseys either. So don't know quite how much investment they've made, but still, nice to see big players like that getting involved.
Yeah, and neither Adidas nor Nike, not even Gola, are supplying our casual wear site, are they? But it doesn't matter because we've been busy making our own.
Yeah. That is a next level segue.
Oh, thanks, mate. I thought you'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
You might have noticed that Si and I are both sporting some different designs today. In fact, that one is new. This one is a nod to a previous T-shirt that we had out. And there are plenty of new ones also over at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com.
Yeah, where you will also find some special edition Camelback water bottles. And now, as ever, your support makes a massive difference to us, as we explained on the show a couple of weeks back.
Yes, yes. Incidentally, and sticking with racing, the Tour de France starts this coming Saturday, which feels like a good time to remind you that you can watch a full season of bike racing live on Discovery Plus and Max.
That does seem like a good time, doesn't it? Now, our big preview show of the Tour de France is going to be out tomorrow, so Wednesday, on the GCN Racing Channel. It is a really interesting route this year, yeah. And we go into detail
I love the route, actually. I think it's going to be a great race, possibly with a predictable winner, but still.
To be fair, you spent most of the first stages saying how nervous you're going to be.
I am, yeah. I mean, there's bound to be crashes, but I just hope there aren't many and all of the big names stay upright. Not that I want the small names to crash, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah.
All right, sticking with racing, and a brand new US team has been launched last week. News came a little bit too late for last week's GCN show, but it's called the Modern Adventure Pro Cycling, or just Modern Adventure Pro Cycling, without the, I think, co-founded by George Hincapie.
Yeah, so the team's aim is to try and create a place where talented US riders can develop and get experience in top-level racing. So it's going to start as a second division pro team, but has aims to move up the ranks steadily over the years. Now, interestingly, it is also being supported by Lance Armstrong.
Well, according to Hincapie, that support comes in the form of Lance's podcast called The Move, which will act like a media partner rather than a cash sponsor.
Yeah, and frankly, I guess kicking up too much of a fuss about Lance being involved, it would be rather hypocritical, given the number of former dopers who are still involved in the sport in some way, shape or form. Mm. So I don't think for 1 minute being a former cheat means that you spend your days just trying to get other people to cheat now as well, totally frankly.
Some new tech for you now. Today, Canyon have released another new bike, the updated Grizzle. So off the back of the new Endurace OnFly, the ultralight e-bike that Alex took a look at on the Tech Channel last week.
With the new TQ motor that we talked about.
Is it? Yeah, they've got this new Grizzle that I was talking about, but you know more.
I do know more, Dan. So the Grizzle is Canyon's adventure-oriented gravel bike. I know more because I rode one the other day. So this new version is more adventure-y than ever, basically. So the geometry is more upright and confident, although the extra stability in the frame set is kind of enlivened by the short stem that goes with it. And It's got bosses to fit gubbins to every inch of the bike, making it fit for epic round-the-world rides.
Or for Connor to do an hour on before work, I suppose.
True, yes. Now, Connor is similarly excited by an option that they've announced on the Grizzle CF8 and CF9 called Eclipse, which stands for Endless Charge and Lighting Integrated Power System.
Yes. It's quite clever, actually.
It's really clever, yeah.
Isn't it? So it wires a dynamo front hub, which generates power as you ride, with built-in front and rear lights, and also integrated battery pack with USB-C charge port on there as well.
Yeah, proper cool, isn't it? So, like, that's kind of all tech that you could add on to your bike, but the fact that it's all built in and integrated, plus there is a very clever little management module which kind of takes it to the next level, or several levels up actually. So it means that this is constantly directing power to where you need it, or storing it in the, I think, 3,500, is it mAh or is it milliamperes? I don't know what it stands for.
Ma.
Huh?
Ma. Either way.
Is it?
Oh, I've got no idea.
I don't know. Anyway, there's also an app for your phone which connects to it all as well, so you can understand how much charge you've got in there and all that kind of jazz.
Now, if you're wondering how much power it takes to power the dynamo, only 3 watts. Sorry. So even Connor wouldn't notice that 3 watts going into it.
Oh, you say that. At his lowest air but unbound, I think he was probably only pushing 3 watts, wasn't he, really?
He'd either be moving very slowly and not be able to see where he's going, or stationary with a light,
yeah,
basically.
Well, I mean, at that point, I think he would be relying on the battery pack and stuff that he'd stored previously.
Anyway, we'll have a proper look at that tech when we get our hands on it. There's a lot more to nerd out on, we believe.
Yeah, sticking with tech, going briefly back to e-bike, there's a new one from Orbea, which I think is really cool, actually. So it's called the Mugger, and it's designed for people who basically want to do a bit of everything and keep it chilled, I think. Yeah. So from commuting to off-road or light off-road and everything in between.
It's got full suspension, hasn't it? Which I know some people might think of as overkill, but it does make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The more comfort, the better, especially on e-bikes. In fact, it's a bike that you told me earlier, Si, you'd quite like to get for your family as a sort of town bike, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'd say the same, but for off-road family bike rides.
For you, presumably. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, it is restricted to 25 kilometres per hour, though, so with my current form, I'd probably drop Lorraine and Jude, I'd imagine, on the flatter sections of road.
That's it, mate. You show them how it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Presumably, you'd only be dropping them on downhills or where you've got a tailwind.
Yeah, but I'd still drop them.
Yeah,
that's cool. What counts, isn't
Wicked.
It? Right, another bit of tech news from Vision that came, again, just too late for us to include in last week's show. They've got their all-new SC45 and 60 SL wheels, which now feature a 23mm internal rim width to work better with modern wider tyres, and a new PRS hub with a 54-tooth ratchet system, should I say.
There we go. They weigh in at 1,542 grams and 1,642 grams per pair for the 45s and the 60s, respectively. And they're very respectable prices too, actually, you've got to say. $1,299 and $1,399.
So the deeper ones, yeah. Then at the other end of the spectrum, Colnago have teamed up with Parnell Mount to make a special C68. That one is going to retail for $20,000.
It does look very nice,
does
it? Got to be said. Having said that, if I was spending that much on a bike, I'm not sure I'd want PNS written on my face.
Have you got a lot of immature riding mates that would giggle when they saw that?
Well, I mean, yes. But I also think that one of them would turn up to a group ride with a permanent marker and just add something to the forks. But anyway, we will finish Cycling Shorts now, shall we, with a reminder that every single one of you can get a free My Velo bike fit. So you've got until this Monday, the 7th of July, to get involved.
Really simple to do. You just film yourself or get someone else to film you doing a series of flexibility tests, which I did with Ollie, and then do another video of you riding indoors on your bike, and then it will tell you whether you need to change anything about your bike measurements and position.
Yeah, I know a lot of you have done it already, so let us know how you got on in the comments section down below.
Next up, it is time for hack/bodge of the week. If you'd like to get involved, go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. Matt Close sent the first one that we're going to look at this week, saying, I was having trouble getting one of the pistons on my hydraulic brakes to compress while loading down the other three. My son was squeezing a lever for me as I struggled with tire levers to keep the other pistons retracted. When I was about to give up, my son asked if I wanted to play with Lego, and eureka! The idea hit me like a bolt of lightning. We fashioned a caliper spreader out of Lego that did the job to perfection. Brake adjustment complete.
This, Dan, might well be one of my favourite submissions ever on Hack or Bodge. That's genius.
Yeah.
Why have we never had Lego submitted
for any Hack or Bodge,
I don't think.
No.
That's incredible. And I love the different use of coloured bricks as well. It looks like a kind of Mondrian-inspired bike tool.
I don't suppose that was by design, given the frustrations he was going through at that point. But nevertheless, great to start with such a resounding hack, Matt. Well done.
Genius. I can see what they've done there as well. That's absolutely brilliant. I love that. Right then, next up, we got this one sent in by Matt Mann. I have had a number of bike multi-tools over the years, Matt Mann says, and have found that there is A, always tools that I don't need for my bike, B, they are awkward and clumsy to use. I inventoried the bolts on my bike and found I only need 6 hex wrenches for everything from derailleur adjustment to wheel changes. I got a set of high-quality hex wrenches along with a wolf tooth quick link tool, chain link tool, tyre levers and a couple of patches. It's pretty much everything I need. I dug out my sewing machine and made a tool roll for all the tools and included a work surface flap to keep any bits and bobs out of the dirt and sand during my roadside repairs. Tucked into my top tube bag perfectly.
Wow.
I mean, that is kind of cool. It maybe gives you a bit of a sign as to where I'm coming from my cycling history, but it looks a bit heavy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying is I was looking at... I just ordered a new Topeak multi-tool this morning, actually, and I spent more time looking at the grams of the multi-tool than the functions of it. But this looked mega for like a kind of, you know, full-on adventure, do anything type thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't need it for a recovery ride, would you?
Weight be damned.
No. You wouldn't want it for a Strava KOM attempt.
I mean, it depends how long it was, you know. But yeah, it looks brilliant.
I'm still going hack because that is a very neat job.
Well, yeah, I'm going to say hack as well. Like, I think it's overkill for 99.9% of things, but for that one time you need it, blooming good. So, yeah, thank you for that one.
The final one comes in from somebody that's not called Matt, so that's good. Bev Outside. My husband works on a lot of bikes for friends and family, so often refers to YouTube videos to help with specific tasks. I went to the garage to find he had neatly mounted his new phone on his workstation and was using the controls on his headphones to pause and play the video. He didn't have to touch the screen with his dirty hands and the phone was easy to see and protected from damage. Of course, I yelled, "That's a hack!" They'll let you make the final call.
I mean, I think that is a hack, isn't it?
It is. It's quite a neat stand, isn't it, above the tools there?
Very neat
stand. Very well positioned.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, my eyes have been drawn immediately from the video on the phone to that sort of tool wall in the back.
Mm.
How nice is that? Is it like carpeted with all his park tools hung up there?
Almost looks like that, or there's some sort of soundproofing. Maybe he's a presenter as well.
Maybe he is. This is genius. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, you might not get greasy fingers on your phone, but do you think he gets greasy fingers on his headphones?
Well, I did think that, yeah, but better than on the screen that you're looking at a lot of the time, isn't it?
True.
I like the thought that Bev said, do a pose to the camera like you're pressing your earphones.
Yes, yeah. Like a proper influencer, that, isn't it? Influencer in the wild, I like it. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a hack as well then, yeah. Right?
Well, 3 hacks then, so this week. Thanks very much for all your submissions, and don't forget again that you can get involved in this part of the show.
Yeah, the only way that could be improved is I don't think that's a GCN tech video.
No, I was going to mention that, and then I thought I'll leave that to you.
No, well, yeah, so perhaps, Bev, you can send us a message and explain why your husband was not using a GCN tech video.
Or at least when directing him to point his finger at his ear to show what he was doing, change the video on his phone as well.
Yeah, I mean, they got a hack anyway, but we should have thought that.
Well, should we finish with a bodge then?
Yeah, that's a massive bodge. What are you doing? No, I like it. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you've got a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below and we will read out We'll pick a winner, I should say, next week. Should we start with results, Dan?
Yeah, last week's photo came from the Tour de Suisse. This is Alexander Vlasov of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. Our winning caption this week, actually, probably should describe the photo for podcast listeners, shouldn't we? He's doing a time trial. He's throwing a bottle away, so it's mid-air and looks rather large, doesn't it?
It's good that we just described that one for podcast listeners when we've just done Hack or Bodge. Yeah. We haven't described anything.
We're a little bit haphazard, aren't we? There's not much consistency going on there. But anyway, our winner this week is Rich M3477, who put, "I was wondering why the bottle was getting bigger, and then it hit me."
I've got to say, I lolled. That's a cracking dad joke, that one, isn't it? Really, it really is. So yeah, well done, Rich. Get in touch, and we will get that GCN Camelback water bottle out to you. What on earth is this one, Dan? This week's photo, Remco Evenepoel. Is he holding someone else's camera?
Well, they're also holding their own camera, but he's got his hand on the lens as well. So I will get you started. Remco Evenepoel struggles to stay focused ahead of the Tour de France.
That is actually good.
Cheers, mate.
That is actually proper good. I like that. Well, the bar has been set pretty high this week. So if you can beat it, or even if you can't, get involved in the comment section down below. It's all about taking part, isn't it?
That's what I say to myself when I do the caption each week.
You said that a lot in our careers as well, haven't we?
Yeah, not the finishing, it's the taking part. Right, just before we let you know what's coming up...
Sorry, I wasn't looking.
Okay, keep that bit in. Right, just before we let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, we have, as ever, picked out a few of our favourite comments from the last 7 days' worth of videos, starting with these underneath last week's GCN show with you and Connor.
Yep.
He was laughing a lot at the end last week, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, yes.
Eluk91 put, "Can't wait for 30 rides on 1K Canyons versus one on a Parley."
Yeah. Now, I saw this and I saved that comment because...
You sent it in the group chat.
I did, yeah. Now, whether or not we can get hold of 30 Canyon Endurace ales, because they've sold out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But how cool would that be? Who's your money on? 30 or one?
It depends who's on the one, doesn't it?
All right, mate. Broadly speaking, everyone was in a similar level, you know. Not like Tadej Pogacar was on the 30 grand bike and then...
Is it a mountain time trial or a flat long road race? It's getting a bit boring now, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, okay, next up, this one from Mama Mooney. "I love seeing all the hot tech that's beyond both my abilities and bank account because I love seeing innovation. I also love seeing good, affordable bike options." Yeah, so this is kind of what we were saying last week. It's really good that bikes like the $30,000 Parley exist, as well as €999 Canyons. Like, it's just cool, right?
Raymond Olgado wrote in to say, "There should be a UCI-sanctioned Tour de Grand where the professional cyclists can only use bikes that are $1,000 and below."
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? I'd love to see what would happen, whether the results would be exactly the same as they are now, just a little bit slower.
You'd imagine so, because... Well, that would be interesting to see.
Time trials, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a bit more.
John Ennis said, "Nothing wrong with rhyming sunglasses and grasses unless, like Connor, you decide to pronounce one in the southern accent and the other northern."
We should probably explain this to non-British viewers or listeners of the GCN show. So I don't know where the line is in England, but above it you say grass and bath and path, and below it you say grass and bath and path, whereas Connor... being Connor, says both, one sentence apart.
He blamed it on having a mum from Manchester, didn't he?
He did, yes. I mean, I don't think that is an excuse at all, but there we go. In fact, there's a few comments about Connor. Scott Bolton said, "There are two Connors in this world, not one that says grass and one that says grass, but one that speaks and one that has no idea what the other is going to say."
A bit, guys, but also, why is Connor looking so dishevelled of late? He looks tired and sort of like a hostage.
Well, we should say that Connor has just had his third kid. So that's why he's looking like a hostage and also very, very tired. Yes. So, yeah, huge congratulations.
Basically,
to
what
Connor.
We're saying is if he looks like that, he's only got himself to blame. underneath the 100K epic climb with Ollie and some international GCN presenters, Coffee Addict Lee put, "The trash talking commentary was king."
Who did that?
Thanks,
Dan.
Very much.
Yeah, there you go.
A long time to write that.
Yeah.
Soja Kavara put, "Absolute pisser. P-I-S-S-A. Love these GCN adventures. Please do more. This is what makes cycling fun and puts a smile on every cyclist's face. Well done all.
Yeah. And then I like this one in particular. Cycling geologist. Now that is a YouTube handle and a half, isn't it? Quoted, it's like the moon up here. He said, it was a shock to hear as a geologist. I'm not sure I fully agree. So, yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from there. It's got to be said.
Yeah. Meanwhile, under the video we put out on Friday, which was an investigation into why Tadej Pogacar appears to be doing more of his attacks in the saddle this year than previous seasons, church wardens put, funny to hear people use really scientific language to tell us things that we always knew as children riding bikes around the neighbourhood.
Now, I put this comment in because I feel like there were one or two people commenting on that video who didn't quite understand what was going on, in the sense that, like, Tadej Pogacar, I don't know, the use case for him was very specific, isn't it? And it's not like what you do riding around the neighbourhood as a kid. Like, it's very much top level.
No, not to say that none of us can learn something from what he's doing and what his performance manager was saying, and indeed Peter Leo from Jayco Alula. Both of them are very interesting, but yeah, it's slightly different when Pogacar does stuff, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think we all can learn something from it, but I think my point is that we don't already know what they were saying. It was really, like, interesting, I thought. Very new. So there we go.
Ride road better, but if you can ride them off your wheel seated, then why wouldn't you? It's a good point, but it would have been a really short video, wouldn't it, that one?
Yeah, because you don't need to get out of the saddle anymore. I mean, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Very scary thought. And then S4MS4R4 said, I get out of the saddle when my crotch goes numb. So there we go. Pogacar's clearly got a comfy saddle these days.
Yeah.
Right then.
Right, coming up on the channel this week, tomorrow, if you're watching this on Tuesday, so Wednesday, we've got our big Tour de France preview that we mentioned earlier coming out. Quite a big edit, I think, that one. Went slightly overboard with detail of the stages and the riders, but nevertheless, should be worth watching.
If we're looking a little bit tired and like hostages today, then that's why, isn't it?
Yeah. And then Thursday, keep your eye out on GCN Tech because there's an unveiling of something there that day.
Indeed there is. We can say no more right here, right now. On Friday, weird things you didn't know about the Tour de France. Connor has been delving deep into some of the peculiar aspects of the biggest race in cycling. On Saturday... Well, you are... Have you said that you're going out there yet?
I have, yeah.
You have? Okay.
I think so.
I can't remember. Dan's going to the Tour de France this week.
I'm supposed to be picking up content that will go in a hot tech video that you'll be able to find on GCN Tech on Saturday. I've learnt a lot more again this year since I got back into bike riding and I visited the UA Tour and saw the hot new tech there. But if I do slip in some disc brakes or something, look at these disc brakes. Just bear with me, but I'm going to be doing my best.
Fortunately, viewers, one of our colleagues from France, Louis, is going to be there as well, so he does know his stuff,
doesn't he?
He really does know his stuff. French hour record holder,
yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, he really knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, also on GCN Tech, our cheapest and most expensive Tour de France bikes, which I know a lot of you are always very interested in when we do that. Every so often.
And is it through modesty, Dan, or simply that you forgot to mention your Manchester to London video that drops?
Oh, yes.
This weekend.
It's definitely not through modesty. I actually genuinely forgot.
The full story of Dan's Manchester to London. I'm intrigued. As I told the viewers last week, your tracker showed that you were very clearly on a train. So I am looking forward to seeing how you get out of this one, Dan.
I did manage to slip my Wahoo in somebody's pocket, though, and connect...
Whoa! I don't think that's allowed.
And connect it to their power meter, so it all looks legit.
Okay, cool. All right, well, anyway, look forward to watching that. Thank you very much for watching this one, and... Well, yeah, can't wait for the Tour de France to start.
We're leaving people with that image, are we? All right, see you next week.